The following program is produced and distributed by KETR.org. You can help by visiting KETR.org and clicking donate.
Good afternoon and welcome to this week's edition of Lions Roar. Tim McMurray here, Director of Athletics, joined today by spring sports that are in full swing. We've got George Pencock, our head track and field director of cross country, and Ron McCosco, our director of golf, here with us today. And looking forward because both of these programs have the best part of their competitive seasons coming up. So We will jump right in and bridge that gap. Before we do it, thoughts and prayers with Coach Brewster and his family. He's on his way back from a family funeral after a great weekend at home. Softball undefeated, 3-0 with a sweep of Kingsville. I would say sweeps week type finishes.
Yeah, it was dramatic is an understatement.
yeah. Dramatic saying the sun is a bright star. 7-6 and 4-3 to complete the doubleheader sweep. Two walk-off home runs, very special. We'll hear from him next week, and I would fully expect and hope that we're not ninth next week. We're even higher than that. Any thoughts?
I think we'll be – so the rankings come out on Wednesdays for those that haven't – they just know the rankings come out. They don't know what day. They come out on Wednesdays. So I would expect us maybe to move up this week. Once you get higher up in these rankings, it's really hard to move up, but it's really easy to move down.
Angelo had a loss, but I'm not sure – drops them that far
because it was a competitive loss. Far enough ahead that I think they'll drop, but maybe not down to where we were at. So it's really hard to move up once you get past about 15.
Yep. And so as we get into segment two with Coach McCosco, we will visit about the men's finish last week. A deceptive fourth place finish in my mind because we had the advantage and luxury of having the depth of playing two different teams.
There's some math involved.
Yeah, not even having a full schedule. We'll look forward to that. But first and foremost, the guy that coaches the most complicated sport on campus, which involves running fast and turning left three times.
Mostly.
Yeah. Or jumping or throwing, six times.
It happens. I try to make it simple for those following along.
We haven't seen each other in a while, which is probably great for you, but I've missed having you on and missed being on the show with you. And we're in that competitive time. We're coming off a historical finishes for both teams, men and women, on the indoor side. And so, first of all, we'll talk a little bit specifically about UTA and the great weekend to start the outdoor season full swing. But for those that competed at LSC Indoor, competed at the National Indoor, even had an abbreviated roster compete this weekend because, Rashard doesn't run, Florian doesn't go full bore in all events because we're in that recover, adjust, all of that. Talk to me about your philosophy there and kind of explain wear and tear versus just like in indoor, you want your best track and field being performed late in May.
Yeah, our sport, we're fortunate enough to have two seasons. We want to perform our best end of February, early March for our indoor season, so we kind of peak things there a little bit. But because of that peak, we kind of have to back off, give the kids a little rest, let them get their legs back underneath them, and then really kind of reload and try to put another peak in at early May and late May at our national championship. So, unlike most sports, which I think you just want to continue playing better and better each week, we want to do that, but we have the challenge of repeating that again. So, this week at UTA, we had most everyone back, kind of sore, kind of tired legs because we're in that reload phase. And there are still a few people coming off of nationals that it was just best for them to have another week of rest, whether that was physically or mentally. It's just hard to keep going week after week after week, and that's kind of the nature of our sport.
How different is it for, let's say, I'm Rashard Clark, I'm a 200, 400 guy, or let's say Austin Yeager, even though he wasn't in the indoor season, your distance runners and then your throwers. Like, you've got so many different people. Is it that rest different for different event groups?
Yeah, a little bit. And the nice thing about the throwers, we throw a few additional implements outdoors. We add a hammer throw, we add a javelin. So their training naturally kind of breaks up a little bit differently once they get into outdoor. For someone like an Austin Yeager that wasn't running indoor, it's just kind of a continuation. So you really have to, as much as you want to look at it as kind of an event group thing, you really have to take it as an individual and talk with that person, see where they're at, and really see if they're ready to go. If the race car doesn't have gas in it at the end of the day, there's no point in taking it to the racetrack in the morning.
Let's go back to that visual of Josh being a 200, 400 guy.
I was going to say, I can only go short distances, but that might be even much for me.
Maybe this is a new Facebook Live event that we can...
We have a home meet just around the corner.
I was going to say, unattached. I've joked about throwing shot put for it.
Maybe we need
What about an admin staff 200-meter dash?
We might do an 200? Admin...
200? How about like 20?
Okay. How about a 40? How about a 40?
I say admin staff decathlon, abbreviated.
If we didn't have Connor on staff, I might.
That could skew it a little. Taylor maybe too.
Yeah.
Semi.
Yeah. So I'm out.
We can go. We can go age divisions.
It could be a battle.
Oh yeah,
it could
be on my own.
Yeah, it could be a battle. It could be a battle on like, the third place stand for he and I.
I'm totally like in the middle of two different age brackets on staff. It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
the sweet spot.
I am the top male walker after all.
That's right. Yeah,
you defending have the trophy to prove it.
From Casida.
I've got one trophy. I better get a second one.
At the risk of putting our fans to sleep with all these inside jokes, we'll go back. Fantastic 7 provisional qualifiers. Devontae Steele, men's triple jump, nation's top mark to date at a little over 51. Malcolm Woods in the 200, Mina Savard in the women's 400 meters, Jasmine Roberts, triple jump, and then 3 high jumpers, Marky Abbott, Haley Nelson, and Chelsea Cheek. Before we talk about that, want to go back to our glorious trip to Pittsburgh, Kansas. Chance to meet Mina's family and friends. Her dad made a surprise appearance. It wasn't quite Colby Carthel's impressions of sleeping with the national championship trophy, but my selfie with our most spirited Lion fan, I think cracked the 60,000 or 70,000 impression barrier, and I was shocked at that. But it was just a lot of fun to have them, and really, really gratifying to sit there and see Julius Seegeroth come up and interact, and just the way that connection's been. And he could have been happier about her experience. So, just. Really a fan of that pipeline we've created.
Yeah, Richard's watching right now too.
Yeah, I mean he is.
He is. Great. I
mean, he said go Lions.
He's a track fan at heart.
If I'd known you were gonna be watching Richard, I would have painted my face for the show.
But you know,
don't say things like that on here. We'll hold you to him.
He's a track fan and he's a Lion fan, and I mean anywhere we go, he's always there with us. He's coach. Good luck. Coach, what do you think is going to happen today? Coach, these kids are doing great. You know, what are you telling these guys? And he's everything you kind of want in a parent that could be halfway across the world, really. And it's nice, you know. Even after Pittsburgh, they came back to Commerce while the kids were on spring break, and you know, I was just kind of doing things around campus. And I think 3 out of the 4 days I was here, I saw him sitting out in the grass, hanging out with Mina and the rest of the girls kind of awesome. While they practice. And he was just like, I'm just enjoying the sunlight and the sun and in this sport that I love. And it was
hey,
just fun.
If you're still watching, Richard, did Mina take you to the restaurant recommendations in Dallas? It's very important. You can let Josh know.
Yeah. We'll see if he answers by the end of the show.
All right. So, let's talk about, what you saw at UTA, and then transition that really quickly. You're taking 10 women and 11 men to the Texas Relay, starting with Florian in the decathlon. That'll be actually starting tomorrow, Wednesday evening. And I think he and Coach Davis are headed down there this evening. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
So really, really neat opportunity to have 21 of our student athletes competing at the Texas and Drake relays. Even if you're not a track fan or aficionado, you know about the Texas and Drake relays. So.
Yeah, we consider this really kind of a showcase for our university. You know, hopefully we've done our job as coaches and brought the right athletes in and prepared them to go down there even early in the season and really be competitive with the larger Division I schools that we'll see and the best of Division II and even Division III. You know, if you want to have a good mark early in the season, you go to Texas Relays to compete. And you get to do that in front of not only tons of track fans, but also a lot of high school kids that'll be there racing. So, we see it as a showcase meet to go there and really put our school on the map, continue to show that we're a player in this game and that we should be taken seriously.
And the decathlon, at least the majority of the decathlon, is usually shown on the Longhorn Network if you get that on your cable system. We'll throw that on social media.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah, so once we get the finalized schedule from Texas's media relations office, I should get that this afternoon. We'll throw it up on social media. So
it'll be my first time to watch the Longhorn Network.
I was going to say there's lots of jokes that I could make, but I was going to let my boss make them first. But if you know what channel it's on, congratulations!
Okay. Not to offend our friends at Texas, just making a little humor here in the studio. Hey, fantastic! Look, I'm excited. We've got, you know, hopefully what about another? Well, no, I know we have another 6 or 7 weeks of outdoor track season. And the thing I've really admired about your program in a year and a half is that we're competing our best at the right time at the end of the season. So all this build up, 7 provisional marks, the first full weekend of outdoor. I feel very confident that'll go into the double digits here moving forward.
Appreciate it. I hope so.
Yeah, look forward to it. Have a happy Easter. We will see you back, if not next week, certainly the week after. And good luck in Austin.
I appreciate it.
George Pancock will be back in segment 2 with Coach Ron McCosco and Blake Hartford from Lion Men's Golf.
This show and others like it from KETR.org are made possible by generous contributions from listeners just like you. Donate today at KETR.org.
Back in segment 2, we didn't yell 4 because you can see right here our golf coach and our golf student athletes here. Joined in segment 2 by Lion golf coach Ron McCosco and Blake Hartford from our men's team. And let's start off with Blake. I know that won't offend you, coach.
Nope.
First off, congratulations to LSC Golfer of the Week twice here in your first season. Let's talk about the transition to Commerce and tell me, you know, what you enjoy, and if there's something you don't enjoy, you can tell me off the air. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's been great. I mean, go from a small school to a slightly bigger school here. It's been really nice, but the athletics program here is really nice because all the athletes hang out together, and I know pretty much all the big time athletes here. It's really a good time, and the team here really works really hard, and we're all really dedicated to being the best we can. So it's really nice transition for me.
And you came, you know, with Coach McCosco from Shriner. Talk about what, obviously you went through the recruiting process there initially, and then it's kind of a different sort of engagement process with transferring. So talk about being in the program with he and Anna as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason I ended up going to Shriner. I mean, I really enjoyed the coaching. That was the main reason I even went there. And then the transition here, it helps a lot knowing the coaches again, coming to this new program where all the kids, I mean, there's a lot of different people from junior college and kids that were actually recruited by different coaches. So knowing the coaches here and liking the coaches here is helping with transition a lot for sure.
Bringing a group of new guys, mixing returners and transfers and new signees in together, finishing top 4 in 6 of the 7 tournaments fall and spring, really a testament to everybody coming together. Because as much as golf as an individual and at the collegiate level, a team sport, and you know, obviously outside of the Ryder Cup at the pro level and some other things, you don't really think of golf as a team sport because you don't see that on broadcast television very often. But you guys coming together, you talked about how the athletes support each other. That's one thing as an AD. And I know our coaching group and our executive team, we're really, really proud of that. That, you know, if we need to get the message out, the best thing to do is have our athletes do it for us on social media and support each other. But talk about coming together, because you have had to get to know some new teammates. Mm-hmm. You know, you knew some other guys coming in with you, but how's that transition been?
Yeah, really. I mean, a lot of the guys, we hang out on a regular basis. The golf team is, like, really close-knit. So pretty much on the weekends, even when we're not at the golf course, we're hanging out. And the transition's been good. We've had all the top 5. When you go to a tournament together, I mean, you're rooming together, you're hanging out, you're going to practice rounds. I mean, you're at the course for 5-6 hours a day. So like, if you're not close, then you're gonna be in some trouble.
You better be able to tolerate your teammates, right?
Right. Yeah. So like, I practice every day. We're there 4 or 5 hours a day, and driving there and back. I mean, we've all gotten to know each other really well. Really fast.
One of my favorite parts about how your team has come together, and this is kind of interesting. Everybody thinks of golf as a quiet golf clap sport. They're our best fans. Our men's golf team
are, no question, our best
fans. And so I just want to publicly say thank you for that, and make more friends, get everybody there, because if we had a couple hundred people doing what the 10 or 12 of you guys do at a game, it could be pretty interesting.
Well, and we could give a couple of them like your own just individual section. I mean, Jordan could just, you know,
he can have the whole left side.
He could take the whole left side. Yeah, would be, yes. Coach Cartha would be fine with that, and I know the basketball coaches would too. Hey, let's have a little bit of fun. Best course you've played?
Best course I've ever played. That's tough. I actually, the funny thing is, Comanche Trace out in Kerrville, where I used to play, they had 3 9s, and it was one of the most beautiful courses in the country that I've ever played. So that's probably the best course.
Unbelievable I've ever views, played. It's absolutely.
Amazing. All right. Well, you were telling me, what's the one you work at in the summer, and who happens to be in charge of it, or whatever?
I caddy at Blue Jack National, who it was Tiger Woods' first design. And that's
I've heard of him.
That's an amazing course. It's pretty ridiculous how well manicured it is, and I mean Tiger did a great job designing it. So that's pretty amazing. But I get to play it once. I get to play it like 5 times this summer. But
that's still more than us.
It's more than most people ever get to play it. So that's
a good course. All right. So beside your AD and your head coach, who's in your dream tea group? I'm kidding. Who's your other three in your dream foursome?
I've always been a big Dustin Johnson fan. So if I was going to play like with a professional golfer, it'd be him. Cool. And then Craig Biggio back in the day was my man.
Yes. Oh, man, I brought a Houston guy.
Ron, go ahead and push out. We don't even.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
All right, sorry, Blake. Go ahead.
Yeah,
so I got a little giddy there.
I mean, those are my two. Craig Biggio's been my main guy, and then
we're 49 and a half hours to opening day. Just
and then
throwing that out.
And I am also a big Patriots fan, so Brady would have to be probably another one in my top five, which is it's a weird grouping, but I think it would work well.
It's golf. It's supposed to be interesting.
I'll come out and get you and Craig whatever you need, and then meet you guys back at the clubhouse after the round. Really quick too, and I want to pay a compliment to you and in front of your coach. You've been, you know, that like I have it, a couple of these Lion Leadership Academy. It's the first year we've done that. Talk a little bit about what you're getting from that, and so our listening audience knows that's the, you know, we talk about academic. Athletics and personal social responsibility is kind of our three key pillars, and academically our thrower center I'll put against anybody in the country. Competitively, I know you're being coached and mentored right, and that personal responsibility piece, that's really a passion pet project for Judy and I, Judy Sackfield, our deputy athletics director for student athlete success, and so we're trying to give you guys that developmental phase that gets you ready, whether it's for the freshmen, learn how to balance a checkbook, whether it's the executive leaders molding you for that, you know, building the high-performing teams and becoming the team captain. Josh and I did a session with the seniors on the elevator pitch and the interview, and then the junior levels focusing a lot on etiquette and internships and how to really look for those and assess. Give us from the student-athlete perspective, because this is more important than it doesn't matter if I think it's great if you're not really having a good experience. Talk about your initial experience with that.
No, I'm actually having a great time learning a lot in the Leadership Academy. I mean, not everyone gets to go play professional sports, so this is like really getting you prepared for like the real world stuff. I mean, we just had the dean of business come and talk to us about building a team. Like, and hers was more built on like a work team, but you can tell it develops like straight into a sports team. So like the whole system was it's helping me a lot, just get prepared. And like you were saying, I mean, that's a seminar that could be a couple $1,000 to put on for like a big company, and for us, I mean, it's a great opportunity just to get to learn from her.
Well, we appreciate it. Very active participant, and as a coach coming in, you know, and I know one thing you guys, our fans out there listening, and you know, Josh knows this as well, one thing that really helps me is occasionally if I want to just bounce something off as a former athletic director, you know, and that's something that we're very fortunate with, having someone like Judy and having an executive team that's willing to give up, you know, and because Josh gives up enough of his nights and to give an hour and a half or two back to our student athletes, and asking the dean of the College of Business to come up for 90 minutes. Talk about how your impressions of that kind of program and how it, you know, with campus partners, how important it is to you.
Well, I mean, it's just it's such an amazingly different, and I think Blake was alluding to that. Obviously, we come from a different place that doesn't have anywhere near the resources, and quite frankly, just didn't have the commitment to athletics. So to come into a situation where, first off, you have such a wealth of talent on this campus. That's one of the first things that Anna and I have learned since we've been here. We saw that, you know, everything that you presented to us, but it's been learning about the quality of the education and the strength of the academic, you know, the deans and the commitment to them, both professionally and personally, to be able to invest their time in our student athletes and their success has been something that we just, I mean, it literally is the opposite end of the spectrum. I mean, there's no other way to really describe it. And it's I mean, you know, when you walk in the door and you see best in class everywhere and you say, okay, you know, we all know, you know, those of us who've been in the business side of anything, athletics or otherwise, that you can say anything. But, you know, this place really, they walk the walk. I mean, it's not talk around here. And it really is best in class because we've got tremendous people. But, you know, if you have people that sit in a tower or sit in a silo and don't really convey that information or want to convey that information, it's just kind of lost, but not around here.
Yeah. No, well, and certainly we'll continue that, and having student athletes and coaches like this make it very easy for Josh and I to want to get up and come to work. Let's get to the course here a little bit, and this is both of you guys can answer or jump in or alternate, but you know, so far this spring, 3rd out of 16 at St. Mary's, 9th out of 23 at the regional preview, and 4th out of 10 at our invitational. And you did something a little bit unique, mixing up the rosters. Talk about your strategy and how we hosted that home tournament and were able to get 10 guys out there getting on course experience.
Well, I mean, part of it was accidental. I mean, it wasn't a grand plan.
I was going to say, don't say that until the end. Don't bury the...
Let's rewind that you've been mapping this out for 6 months. You knew exactly... No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, the situation was, and we've tried to come in here and instill a culture. And, you know, Blake will sit here and he'll say today, you know, he'll say all the right things because he's just a great guy and we're fortunate to have him here. But Blake also knows that there's times when he gets tired of me and gets tired of hearing what I have to say. But we really are trying to push a culture. And a lot of that culture is success in everything we do. And so if our players aren't quite as focused on academics, we need to make sure that we send a message that we really want to see them do well for their own purpose. So we had a situation this past tournament where you have a young man who was sitting out, great player, we really like him. He actually is a person I've known for a while because he was with me at the last school. But we want to make sure that we keep him working and motivated to be the best that he can be. And we felt it was best for him to, you know, to say, be on that second team. And he actually performed quite well. We also had a situation where one young man was a little bit late coming to, you know, meeting his responsibilities this weekend, and we had to move him to the second team as well, and he also played well. These are guys that we believe are part of our top five, and if we would have had that top five together, I think we would have tied for first. So, yeah. And so it says good things about where we are, but I think the funny thing is, as you go through that, Tim, as you alluded to the results, not only this semester but last, is I think if you would have asked our players, if you asked Blake right now, I'm pretty sure he would say that we have underperformed. And I think that that's something that is, you know, I know that the team had a players only meeting last week because they felt like they wanted to kind of ratchet things up. But I think it's really exciting that the players took that on. And I think it's really exciting that if we're being pretty competitive and we feel like we're not even really getting where we want to be, I think that sets itself up well for, you know, the next month, the 6 or 7 weeks that we've got remaining in our season.
Blake, you thought you agree with that? I don't want you to divulge anything in the team meeting, but just talk that. Coach is right. That, to me, that speaks to the maturity of you guys pulling everybody together.
I mean, we just felt like the first semester we knew where we were ranked. We were ranked really high. We felt like we were in a relatively good position. And then it was almost like we got lax, and we all realized that. And that's kind of we saw a transition to where we weren't performing as well in tournaments as we thought we should have. And that was kind of a lot of the message was, let's get back to focusing on the things we need to focus on to get better and to continue to get to the place where we know we should be. And hopefully over these next few weeks, we'll be able to make that happen.
And we all know the mission and the vision is to, you know, be playing our best golf when we get to Abilene.
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 Not Amarillo.
Well, Amarillo.
Amarillo eventually.
Well, eventually, yeah.
Go in order. Regional. You have to go in order.
So
be before M.
Yeah.
So 20 men's team, 22nd in golf stat in the nation, 2nd in the region. Regional rankings will be released, I think, mid-April for the first time. Mm-hmm. Overall, as you said, not playing our best golf yet, but everything, the way you built the schedule, just to be playing that best golf when we get to Abilene, because that could control how much deeper into May that we play.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you know, our thing we would like to be, I mean, I'm sure George would say this, I'm sure Richie says the same thing, Colby, everybody, you would like to play your best all the way through. I mean, that's your goal, is to see your players play, to perform at their top all the way through and just keep getting better. But that's not always very realistic. And so there is a situation where you want to try to build yourself up. But, you know, as we keep going forward, though, even this weekend, I mean, our goal is to play our best golf. And if that's not good enough, that's perfectly fine. But we really want to see how good we can be. And I know one of these weeks, I'm very confident that we're going to put it all together.
And maybe three of them in April and May. How about that?
Two for the women, one, three for the men. That'd be perfect.
That's right.
That'd be
great. And let's certainly not... women, certainly some signs and symptoms of progress throughout with a very young team and young roster. One event left before they go to conference. What are some things you hope to see prior to them heading to LSC?
Well, I think that they, you know, what we've gotten to is we've gotten into a place where we're shooting consistent scores. We're not that bad. You know, first off, we've really dealt with some bad weather, and a lot of that's on me. We have a schedule that was very front-loaded, and we've had obviously a very difficult and challenging winter. And that's been really tough on our players. And the fact that most of them are freshmen, that just makes it that much more challenging for them. I feel badly for that. But, you know, those things are out of our yep. ability to control. But they've handled it well. And I think they're learning about themselves. I think they're growing together really well. You know, obviously, they've shown signs of playing much better golf as the weather has warmed. I think their games are starting to warm up as well. I don't think we're at this point quite ready for the very best teams in our conference, but we don't have to be yet. Mm-hmm. We've got some time yet, and on any given couple days, anything can happen. And I've been fortunate enough to have been in situations where we've been able to do that. And I think we're going to go into it fairly loose because I think we've got I think we know that we're talented, but we also are under the radar. And there's some positives to being that way. But the biggest thing is. Excuse me, is that we're building that culture and we like the way that they're working at the game. We like the way that they're pushing each other to get better as opposed to competing against each other and mm-hmm. trying to hold each other down. This group has been really good about embracing, let's lift each other up and let's push each other to be the best that we can be.
Men's and women's golf team, seems like there's some fun competitive stuff and also a lot of camaraderie. And I think that helps, like you said, because you guys obviously – Sulphur Springs, same home course. You're around each other a lot. Have you seen that chemistry come together and make a difference?
Definitely. Some of my best friends on the team are the women's team, and we get to play with them. We qualify with them on Fridays some of the time. Whenever we're at practice, it's usually half guys, half girls, depending on just schedules of classes. So you pretty much, again, you have to be able to try to make friends with them. And it's great. I mean, all the girls are supportive of us. We're supportive of them. It just kind of goes both ways.
I'll say both Tanglewood tournaments, I saw at least three or four women supporting the men's team and men supporting the women's team since the tournaments weren't at the same time.
Right.
So that was cool to see, too.
Well, I think that's, I wanted to touch on that just briefly. That's one of the things that we want to be. I mean, I know golf is a sport where it's hard for other student-athletes to support us because we're never truly at home. But that's one of the things we've always had a goal is to be, to be leaders in that respect. And I those guys did it. I mean, especially the men's team. We're going to keep working with the women because they're a little bit younger, but they start coming out and having fun. But we really love the fact that these student athletes are out there at the football games, are out there and vocal and active at the basketball games, at the volleyball matches, at the soccer matches, at softball. You know, maybe we'll get a chance to, I guess we've got track coming up next week, and that'll be the next challenge for us is to come out there. But, in that respect, we can definitely try to lead.
I want to see what those guys come up with for a track meet, because if it's anything like that for everything else, it's going to be bonkers.
Yeah. I feel they'll successfully clear that hurdle.
There you go.
There we go.
And we're out of time. We are actually out of time.
All right, give Blake our
all right,
our wrap-up
and I don't
question.
Remember if we had you answer this in the fall or not, Ron.
Oh, I'm sure I did.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
See, I've been thinking about it. I feel like a sandwich, you got to have like, two pieces of bread, something in between, and it's got to be like pressed. Like a hot dog's like a, it's like a little basket.
Yeah, and I will say your hand motions there were perfect for our Facebook Live audience. For those of you listening on the podcast, you're just gonna have to make it up.
Yeah. But the answer is a hot dog is not a sandwich. It's a hot dog.
Not
there we
not
go.
A sandwich.
Did you answer it? Did he answer
in the fall? I think he answered in the fall, and if not, we'll bring him back for a special appearance.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, we're going to let him come back anyway. There's plenty of great golf. Hey, guys.
Yeah, as long as for that's the thing. And for those of you who are wondering why you haven't seen him yet, they're on the course for tournaments every Monday and Tuesday. That's when college tournaments are. And this is, I think, the first Tuesday that we haven't had a tournament since the second week of February. Mm-hmm. So that makes it tough for scheduling when you have a noon show on Tuesday.
Yes. Right. We might do. We may go live from the conference tournament. Who knows?
Where's it at?
Where?
In Abilene.
Okay, so now we might be able to pull it off.
All right, great week coming up. Up all night in the country, as Josh mentioned earlier. Just really proud. That's our, including men's golf, that's our sixth team to be ranked in the top 10 in their sport already. And I think we've still got some good opportunities there with outdoor track and golf to get back up there. All right, football, 9 a.m., Lone Star Pro Day. Not only will we have our senior class there, but 13 other schools have accepted invitations to have their kids there. At last count, 17 NFL teams, and probably more will be added to that. Really, really excited.
Especially with Luis throwing at A&M, that might bring in some extra people as well.
Yep, and knowing that he's throwing again in 3 or 4 days, looking forward to having our senior class back. And then finally, as we mentioned, men and women both on the road next week, Monday and Tuesday. Women at Henderson State in Mountain Home, Arkansas, and the men just down I-30 and jagging a little bit over over to Dallas Baptist to play in the Patriot Classic, and look forward to continuing that momentum. Guys, thanks for joining us. Great show again. Thanks to all our Lion fans out there on Lion's Roar. For Josh Mank and June Lee, I'm Tim McMurray. We'll see you next week.